Last week we started a series on the life of Ezekiel, particularly his vision and the valley, as you remember. And today we'll continue with that series, Bigger Than Me. I probably can guess that most of us have played bowling once or twice in our lives, have we? Yes. And you know when you go to the bowling alley and you knock down all those pins and you hit a strike, well, sometimes. You know that there's a machine at the end of the alley that comes down, picks up the pins, and removes the ones that are on the ground or replaces the whole thing. I don't think my son agrees with me today. But back in a few years ago, I used to work at Southwestern Academy in San Marino. That's a private school. And up on the second story of the gymnasium, they had a bowling alley, just one lane, bowling lane basically. But they didn't have that machine that would pick up the pins. Every day, one of the kids that would not behave, because he was a boarding school, his task in the afternoon was to go back there at the end of the lane and pick up the pins and set them up for everybody else to play. It wasn't the most coveted position of the day. But in our lives, sometimes we get knocked down, don't we? Something I said? I don't know. What happened today? And as those pins, we just fall down and we're right there on the ground. And yes, there is somebody that his job is to pick up all those pins, all those of us who are fallen. And he lifts us up. Ezekiel in chapter 37, in verse 2, he had seen a vision. And we studied a little bit about this vision last week. And in this vision, if you don't have your Bible, there's a blue sheet in your bulletins that has the text for today. It says that God had brought him to this valley, and in that valley, he had seen two things. A lot of bones, and these bones were how? They were very dry. We discovered that last week that the reason why these bones were dry were because they had lost all hope. But I have a question for you today. What is the reason why these bones lost their hope? There's a principle that we need to learn today about bowling. And that is that distance has an effect. The distance effect. And you can write this down. And notice what happened on Ezekiel 36, verse 17. God is telling Ezekiel exactly the reason why these bones were dry. Why these people, the people of Israel that were represented by these bones, had lost their hope. Notice what happened in verse 17. Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct and by their actions. What happened? That the people of Israel, while they were in the land, they were doing things that they were not supposed to. Are you with me? What were those things? Is a logical question, right? What were those things? Well, first it said, verse 8, so I pour out my wrath on them because they had shed blood. First of all, they had shed blood. That was unnecessary. And second, which is an important thing that we're going to talk about today, and because they had defiled it with their idols. They had defiled the land with their idols. And it's kind of amazing because every time that God is speaking to Ezekiel in the book of Ezekiel, it's something about idols, that the people are worshiping idols. And notice what we find in Ezekiel 14, verse 5. It's right there on your outlines. I will do this to recapture their hearts of the people of Israel who have all deserted me for what? Their idols. Chapter 20, verse 16. For their hearts were devoted to what? Their idols. Now, there's something amazing here. Because every time that God is going to mention the people of Israel worshiping idols, it's in relation to their hearts. You see that? Hearts and idols go hand in hand. there's a something in our solar system that I want you to talk about. I mean, I want you to talk about with you. That's a solar system right there, right? Sort of. And the first planet, right there, it's kind of black. The closest to the sun is Mercury. Now, that planet, it's about between 300 and 700 degrees all the time. You think it's hot out there? We're going on vacations to Mercury. It's very, very hot. Now, there's another planet way at the end, that yellow planet over there, and that's Pluto. When you hear Pluto, the first thing you think is, oh, Mickey's friend. But no, this Pluto is a planet. And this planet is about also 300 to 700 degrees, but below zero. And by the way, these are Celsius, not Fahrenheit. So what happens that Mercury is so hot and Pluto is so cold? As Christians, sometimes we are so far away from the sun, S-O-N, that we're very, very cold. And there's some Christians that are very, very close, like Mercury. And they're always hot. And you know, those kind of Christians that are always into things and they want to help and they're always smiling. And you're like, what's wrong with him? Nobody can be that hot. Because in reality, we all live on earth, right here. Sometimes it's hot. And sometimes it's cold. And it all has to do in relation to the distance that we are from the sun. As we allow things to get in the way of our relationship with God, guess what? We get farther away from Him. So our Christian temperature goes down. But when we love to be close to Him and we get close to Him, we're going to be warmer because we're going to be closer to Him. Our relationship is going to be tighter. Now, sometimes we are far, but we don't know it. You could be a Christian that is always in church and is always participating. Everybody could look at you and say, man, you're Mercury. But you could be far, and you don't know it. Notice what happened. In Revelation 3:17, there is this words. You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. This is the church of Laodicea and Revelations. And they were saying, man, we're so hot. We have all these things. God has blessed us so much that we have all these things. We have a house, we have a car, but let me tell you something. There's no relationship between material things and a relationship with God. Did you hear what I said? Having material blessings does not mean that you are hard spiritually. This church had everything, but it was like God showed them an x-ray picture of themselves. See, look at you. In the outside, you're nice. In the outside, you look good. But look inside. Look at your heart. Remember the relationship between heart and idols? There is something there that is preventing you from being hot. You appear to be hot. You appear to be good. You appear to have a spiritual life. But you don't have it. You are far and you don't know it. Now, check this out. Let's say that one day you wake up and you don't feel that good. You're kind of sick. And you go to the doctor. And the doctor tells you, well, you know what? You have a disease that could be life-threatening. So I'm going to give an aspirin, drink some water, and you're going to be okay. Is that something you would like to happen at the doctor? No, of course not, right? If you have a life-threatening disease, you want to get the right remedy. You want to be treated correctly. You want to get the right treatment because your life is in danger. So what you need is a true remedy. The doctor is going to treat you with for exactly what you need. You see, this church that thought that had it all together, but God told them they were wretched and naked and poor, God was going to give them the right remedy. Notice what happens. Revelation 3:19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and, what does that say? Repent. Repent. See, the people of Israel in the day of Ezekiel, they were going to the temple. They were offering sacrifices. They were giving praises to God, but secretly in their homes. They have little altars of idols, and they were worshiping in their homes. Yeah, they were going to the temple and offering sacrifices and being all for God, but in their homes, they had these little idols that they were worshiping. I have a question for you. Because you see, we started last week that sometimes our bones get dry, correct? If your bones are sometimes more dry, or your temperature is a little colder than normal, or if you're always cold, let me tell you that is because you probably have an idol somewhere there. What is your idol? I have to give you a definition, though. And the first definition is of idol. You can write this down there on your outlines. Idol is something I try to put in God's place. What is it? What's an idol? Something I try to put in God's place in my life. Now, what is God's place? The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve both God and money. And I question about this text, because it says specifically about money. But you know what? God is so wise that he knows exactly what he talks about every single time. And isn't it money sometimes our main idol? I don't know if you know, but there's more text in the Bible about money and finances than about the second coming. And you wonder why? Well, because God knew how important money is for us. And it's so important that sometimes money occupies the place in our life that should be dedicated only to God. So what is the thing that in your life occupies the place that should be reserved only for God? If you have something there, that could be your idol. But let me give you another definition. And this is idolatry. Idolatry, you can write this down there on your outlines, is giving something or someone my first love. Giving something or someone my first love. Talking to the churches in Revelations, God speaks to the church of Ephesus. This church has been a very, very mission-driven church. They had been the poster child for the churches of God. But then God tells them in verse 4, chapter 2, yet I hold this against you. Wait a minute. God, we've been doing all this for you. We've been doing all these things, bringing all these people to church. We've been singing praises. What do you mean you have something against us? Yeah, God says. You have forsaken your first love. You forgot about your first love. Now, the question is, what is our first love? Well, let me give you a definition. First love equals our priorities. What occupies number one in your life? You know, it's interesting to think that sometimes we believe, well, we don't do the things that God asks us to do because we might not love Him. But see, it's not that we don't love God. It's just that we don't love Him enough to put Him in first place. For a while, I've been having counseling with different couples. Good and sometimes not that good. But one of the things that amazes me is when the couple says, well, we need time off from each other. I worry when I hear that, because when a couple needs time off from each other, that means that they're not priority to one another anymore. I don't see myself ever being away from my wife. When I have to travel, you know, for weeks or for a week or a weekend, and I'm not with Paola, I feel horrible. I feel like something is missing in my life because she is my priority. I love her. So if I were to say, well, I need time off from you, it's saying, well, you're not really my priority anymore. And it's worse when a Christian says, well, I need a little bit of time off from God. And believe me, I've heard that before. It isn't that we don't love God, like I said before. It's just that we might not love Him enough. Because there could be something there that is taking His place in my life. Something that, not necessarily bad, but is becoming my idol. And it's preventing me from having a relationship with Him. Let's think that you go to the airport. You have to take a flight. And as you have to take this flight, you have enough time to get to the gate, sit there for a few minutes, and take your plane. But those of you who have traveled on airplanes, you have discovered that right where the gates are, there's all kinds of restaurants. And as you go to the gate where your plane is going to depart from, you see that they have your favorite restaurant. I don't know, for just the purpose of the illustration, we're going to say that there's a CPK right there. And your favorite dessert is the tiramisu that they give at CPK. Are you with me? I love that thing. Chris is with me, yeah. Now, and they have a CPK there, and I know that I have enough time to take my flight. But again, I have enough time to go make the line on CPK Express and get my tiramisu. A salmon line waiting for my dessert. I notice that the minutes are running and the people boarding my plane are already in line. Finally, when it's my turn to order my dessert, I hear from the loudspeaker saying, last call for flight 94 to Tijuana. And I look at my boarding pass and, man, that's my flight. And I have my dessert right there on my hands. What do I do? Do I eat my dessert because I waited in line for it and it's my favorite dessert? Do I eat it right there? Or do I ask the question, did I come to the airport to eat my tiramisu or to catch a flight? Well, guess what I would do? I would take my plane and I would take my tiramisu with me. And I'm going to tell you why. In our spiritual life, God does not want you to sacrifice the good things in life. He wants you to enjoy life to the fullest. But when those things take the place of your flight, something is wrong in your priority list. And your first love is messed up. God wants you to take the plane of first love and enjoy the things that He wants to bless you with. There's a text I want to share with you. John 14, 15. God says, if you love me, you know this by memory, you will obey what? But in all honesty, that is one of the hardest texts in the Bible, isn't it? If you love me, obey my commandments. But you know, it's hard. And you know why it's hard? Because we think that if we obey the commandments, then the consequence is that we're going to love God. But no, it's certainly the other way around. When we love God, then we're going to obey the commandments. It's a consequence. See, let me give you an example. It's my wife's birthday. And I'm going to give her flowers on that day. Why am I going to give her the flowers? Because I have to? Or because I love her? Why do we obey the commandments? Because we have to? Or because we love God? Now notice what this text says. 1 John 5:3. This is love for God. Read it with me. This is love for God. To obey His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. That sounds like an oxymoron right there. Commandments and not burdensome? That's never happened to me. And the reason why we don't understand these texts is because we miss the first part. That is love for God. You know, growing up as a Christian, I was told that in order to be found worthy at the time of the judgment, I had to obey the commandments. I don't know if that happened to you. Well, you know what? It becomes the most difficult thing because then I keep the commandments so that I can be saved. And that becomes being saved by works. And that's never going to happen. Because nobody's saved by the good things we do. We're saved by the grace of God. But then God gives us another text. Matthew 11:30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. And I'm going to tell you something right here. And remember this. If you don't remember anything else that we talked about today, remember this. God didn't ask us to observe a religion. Are you with me? God didn't ask us to observe a religion. He asked us to enjoy a relationship. God didn't ask us to observe a religion. He wants us to enjoy a relationship. How many of you have been to the Niagara Falls? None of you? Yeah? Now check this out. There are many ways to observe the falls when you're there. The falls are majestic. They're huge and there's noise. But there's a park nearby where you can watch the falls. You can even hear them. And once in a while you get a mist from the park. There's another way. There's a helicopter. And you go in the helicopter and yeah, you see the water splashing on the windshield, but you never get wet. But there's another way. There's a little boat called the Maid of the Mist. And this little boat goes in the water, right there where the falls are coming down. And to get in the boat, they tell you, you got to wear this raincoat and this hat because you're going to get drenched. And as you go in the boat, it's not a mist that comes on you. It's like somebody has the hose and is spraying you. Now, this is what happens. What God wants you to do to get your bones that were dry back in shape and active is that you get clothes again because he wants you wet. He wants you to remove those idols that have been preventing you from enjoying that relationship with you. And he's asking you today, what are you waiting to get wet? Next week, we'll study more about how God is going to get you wet. But this week, observe your life. Look inside your heart and see if there are any idols connected. Because in order for you to enjoy that relationship with him freely, you need to disconnect from all those things that prevent you from having that relationship with him. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings. And we thank you because sometimes we are so far away from you. And wherever we are, you still call us and love us so much that you want us to be there right there next to you. And Father, I pray for all of us who sometime or another have decided to drive away a little bit. That, Lord, that today we take advantage of the opportunity you give us to come back to you. And even if we're just getting a little bit wet today and we barely feel the mist, that, Lord, tomorrow may we be drenched in your love and grace. And it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray today. Amen.